Hey, what's up, everyone? You're listening to Five Stages, and I am here with the broadcaster from the Savannah Bananas, Biko Scala.
Thanks for having me, Caitlin. Fired up to chat.
The Savannah Bananas are part of a league, a professional baseball league, right? But it's...
We are the league, Caitlin.
You are the league, and it is banana ball.
Yeah. So there isn't technically a league set up yet. That's a quote from our president, Jared Orton, when we were on ESPN2 and playing banana ball, and someone called the office and said, "What am I watching?" And Jared said, "Banana ball." And he said, "What league is this?" And he said, "We are the league."
I love that.
So there is no league technically, quote unquote, although we are playing about, I think, 11 different teams. Coming up on our world tour, but there will be a banana ball league before you know it. I can tell you that.
So what is banana ball then? What is it?
That's an incredible question. So it's baseball with 9 additional rules. So the core of it is that we changed the way scoring works, where, you know, in baseball, you score more runs than the other team, you win the game, but that allows a lot of blowouts, and part of the creation of banana ball was to create an exciting piece of entertainment from night to night, no matter what happened on the field. So to eliminate blowouts, in a way at least, we made it match point scoring. So if you win an inning, you get 1 point. And if you score 5 points, you win the game. I'd say the second most important rule is that there's a 2-hour time limit. So, you know, baseball, the eternal game, one of the only games in the world without a clock. We slapped a clock on it because, you know, we've got kids come to the games and a parent's got to get them in bed at a certain time. And the most exciting part of a baseball game is usually the end of it when someone can actually win the thing. So we wanted everybody who came to our games to be able to stick it out and see the climax of our, you know, of our games. So 2-hour time limit, match point scoring. So you can score as many runs as you want in an inning, but if you win it, you're only getting 1 point. And then it gets a little bit goofier. Like, there's no bunting allowed. There's no mound visits, and you cannot step out of the batter's box. Those are both to speed up the game so we can try and get 9 innings in under 2 hours. My favorite personal rule is that if a fan catches a foul ball on the fly, it's an out. That's just amazing. And everybody's dream to be a part of the game. And that's what we're here for with the bananas. If you walk, instead of just walking to first base, you immediately take off sprinting, and the defense has to get the ball to touch 7 of their defenders. Basically, everybody behind the pitcher and catcher has to touch the ball before it's live. So it can be 2 bases. The guy can be out trying to get to second. Sometimes they just stay at first. If there's a bobble or an overthrow or something, it can be 3 bases or a walk home run. Basically, we call it a sprint home run. So that's another part of banana ball. And what am I missing here? Oh, and instead of extra innings, we have a banana ball showdown, which is basically like penalty kicks in baseball. So the first round, it's just pitcher, catcher, 1 fielder who has to have their feet on the infield grass. And the hitter tries to put the ball in play. If they do, they have to get inside the park home run to get a point. And the defense is just trying to get them out, whether it's strikeout or tacking them out. And then we'll have 3 rounds of that max. In the second 2 rounds, there's no fielder, so it's literally just the pitcher and catcher out on it. Who scores a point in the showdown and the other team doesn't, bang, the team that scores a point wins. And batters can steal first base. That it just came to me. They can steal first.
Batters can steal first base?
Correct. So, you know, as soon as you take a step out of the batter's box, it's a forced play at first, though. So you can't, like, start taking off and then run back to the box. As soon as you make an attempt to steal first, you got to go because you're thrown out at that point.
All right, yeah, I think I have an understanding. I'm going to just take the baseball rules. I'm going to add 9 fun ones, and I'm going to get me some banana ball. So can you tell me, what exactly do you do as a broadcaster for the Savannah Bananas?
So it's a typical play-by-play broadcasting job in that, you know, we play a form of baseball. So I'm required to be the narrator of sorts in the online and TV world. For anybody who are not lucky enough to watch the Bananas in person, they're watching in video form, and then they're hearing my voice, you know, tell them about the players, what's happening. this and that. So that's the broadcasting aspect of it. And then Jesse Cole, the owner of the Bananas, is eccentric, and everything we do is different. So I'm the broadcast entertainer is what my official title is. So Jesse wants me to be like a little bit more of a fan on broadcast and kind of make it feel like I'm sitting next to folks on the couch and I'm just like the most informed fan that they've ever met in their lives. So that's the general gist of being a broadcaster for the Bananas.
Yeah. So the introduction video of you being hired on is available on YouTube. I watched it, and that was something that they like specifically said. They were like, the title, the job title is what they thought was the most important, which was broadcast entertainer. And so how do you feel that like you contribute to the entertainment aspect of the Savannah Bananas?
You know, I think I broadcast honestly pretty similar for the Bananas as I would for any other team. I think in general, it was a role that really fit me just because I'm a little goofy and I don't have like the typical broadcasting voice. It's a little abstract for the industry. So, you know, I kind of got to get away with some cleverness and having fun with the fans. So the entertainer part is a lot of just being goofy and like fitting into the Bananas fans first brand. One of the great things we get to do on our broadcast is a lot of them when we're not on the ESPN networks is we have a chat. So I get to actually interact with fans while I'm broadcasting. And that's like kind of the most unique part of the job, honestly. And trying to make it feel like it's a two-way conversation and not just me talking at the fans.
So when you're broadcasting, you're up in like a broadcast booth, right? You're not like on the field or anything.
The vast majority of the time I'm up in the booth, although we do have the technology that I've been down on the field a few times. I've gotten 3 at bats. I don't want to talk about them. I'm 0-for-3 with a couple ground outs and a strikeout. But yeah, because we're the Bananas, I get a couple unique opportunities and have even like broadcast from behind second base and some nonsense like that. But I'd say 99% of the time plus I am in the booth.
What is your favorite thing to talk about during a Savannah Bananas game?
Oh my goodness. That's like picking between my hypothetical children that don't exist. I would say in general, I had some kind of combination of, you know, bringing some like legitimate intensity to the game, like making sure that I'm reminding everybody of the stakes and keeping everybody up to date on the rules of banana ball, because we're not playing baseball. We play banana ball, which is a version of baseball with 9 additional rules to add excitement and fun to the game. So there's a lot of things that happen in our banana ball games that wouldn't happen in a baseball game. And I'm constantly trying to keep fans knowledgeable on why things are happening in front of their eyes. So I'd say I enjoy that and take pride in that a lot. But like I mentioned earlier, also getting to talk to the fans, it's so cool between innings, between at bats, during at bats, whatever it is, somebody making a comment on the game and it popping up on my screen and I'm able to reply to them. I think like that's something that is a very special part of my job is I'm trying to do everything a normal play-by-play broadcaster does, but also just keep an eye out on the chat so that people, you know, feel seen and kind of think they get a connection with me as well.
So how do you narrate when the players are dancing?
That's a good question. It depends. When I started back in 2020, I would try and kind of like describe what was happening in dances, but then I got some messages from fans that mostly parents, they're like, I kind of want to just see my kid dance with the music. I was like, that's a good point. You know, I'm talking for like 3.5 hours straight. So maybe a 2-minute break for my voice doesn't hurt. So when it becomes like the in-between inning dances, I pull back and just let the dancing speak for itself. But now we do what we call 3-2-2s, which is the pitcher, second baseman, shortstop, and center fielder who do a choreographed dance, and then the pitcher throws a pitch, like a live pitch to a batter, So those, I'm a little cheeky with whatever I'm saying. I'm surprised by the dance in general, and then absolutely blown away if it's a strike or the ball's put in play or something miraculous really happens on that pitch.
So are you a part of any of, like, the rehearsals, or is everything you're witnessing, like, firsthand? Like, are you there when the players are practicing or anything like that, the choreography?
A little bit of this and a little bit of that. If I have the time in the day and my duties aren't really holding me back, I'll try and take a peek at rehearsal and see what's going on. We have an entertainment script for every game that kind of breaks down when, certain things are going to happen or what reactions we're planning for possible events during a game, because, you know, we have a lot of plans, but at the center of it all is a game that where both teams really want to win and you have no idea what's going to happen on any pitch. So, it's like a little mixture of, I have a general idea of what's going on, but also sometimes Zach Frangelo and Jesse Cole and company will hide things from me so that they can get a true, genuine reaction from me on the broadcast, and that's fun too. So it really depends on the moment.
So I looked at some YouTube videos again, and I saw that you have also experienced interviewing the players.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, the interviews that I saw were, I'm in California and you're in New York, and that's a lot of distance between you and I. And these interviews that you're doing with players are pretty, there's there's like no distance. So,
yeah.
I saw your ice bath interview.
Yes.
And again, you guys can find these videos on YouTube. They're definitely worth checking out. So your ice bath interview, honestly, I only have one question about that. How did you get out of the bucket? Because you gradually were getting in it. And then I feel like you got real in it. And at any point were you like, brah, I think my body should not be bending this way. I feel like you broke a bone how much you were able to get into this bucket. And the video ends before showing you get out, so I need to know.
Yeah, I'm not the most flexible man in the world, but
no,
I'm also not
you
the least
don't
flexible
even
guy.
No, don't even say that. I saw you were in the bucket, dude. You're extremely flexible, and if you're not, then you did break something. That was intense. Like, I was like, why does he keep? No, stop! Your legs—you are literally folded in half.
Well, I think I can fold. Right? There's different kinds of flexibility.
There's different types of flexibility, you guys. There's the type where you can do a split, and then there's a type where you can fold your body. And Biko can fold his
body.
Right.
And correct. And I can't do a split. And if I'm sitting down, you put your legs out straight. I can't put my feet flat on the ground. There's a lot of things that I cannot attain, but I found out because of the bucket of ice interview, that I can fold in half and my feet were right around my head. I actually was able to, it was a couple years ago now. I think I was able to climb out on my own. It's just it's kind of whatever the opposite of a pull-up is, it's a drop-down. I don't know, I'm not a workout expert, but you just kind of push yourself, and the water helps too, you're buoyant. I think I was able to escape that without toppling the bath of ice water over, and just able to get out on my own. But I did discover something about the way I can bend my body that day.
I saw that the player that you were interviewing did not go as deep as you did.
Ashley, no, he did not. Yeah, he's also I think he's got half a foot on me too. So it's a little more gangly. There's a lot more human body to get in there. So it really wasn't a fair comparison for the two of us.
So the next interview that I saw was the singing interview.
Yes, with Dalton Baldwin.
And I just want to let you know that your ad libs during the singing interview were fire. And so,
Thank you.
You know, if anyone's looking for someone to spit some ad libs, check out Pico Scala.
I appreciate that. That's a really good pitch to anybody out in the world who might need an ad-libbing interviewing singer,
right?
or any kind of ad-libbing singing in their life.
So did you come up with these ideas for these out-of-pocket interviews?
Some of them I did, and I'd say probably the majority of them I didn't. Maybe close to like 60-40, I don't know, something like that. But we have a pretty massive, robust creative team inside the front office of the Bananas. And, you know, it's mostly the marketing team, but anybody can get in on an idea session, whether it's, you know, ticketing or, you know, the people taking care of the stadium, whatever you do, merchandise, voices and ideas are always loved and welcomed inside the Bananas. So it's, you know, we have a lot of brainstorming sessions, which we call idea paloozas, because, you know, hashtag everything's different in Banana Land. So, you know, some of them were mine, some of them like started as mine and then have a bunch of add-ons or twists from other people's ideas, because we really chop up and zombieify a lot of our ideas as well. But it takes an army to come up with, you know, everything that we do when it comes to interviews or in-game promotions or videos, whatever we're up to.
Were you excited to interview yourself?
Yes. And that was, it was a fail, obviously. You could, if you watch the video, you could tell it's a fail, but it was also a fun fail. We forgot that we had like a perfect plan beforehand, and that involved me having an AirPod in one of my ears so that I could hear the questions being asked from me, obviously, which had been recorded like a minute or two earlier. But we forgot when it came to, you know, it was a full pregame idea, whatever, you know, you think about it days beforehand, and then all of a sudden you have a game and you're doing the postgame interview, and myself and Nick Freeman, who was my producer and videographer for the whole thing and basically handled all the technical aspects of it, the two of us completely forgot about the AirPod. So we were just like, he had a timer on his phone. We timed all of my questions beforehand, and he was like kind of looking at me off screen and telling me when I should be talking and when I should stop talking, and I kind of memorized what the questions were. When you watch the video, you can tell our timing did not end up quite right, but that also kind of added a little fun to it as well.
Yeah, so you're interviewing yourself, and how the video production is that it's showing two Bicos. So he's, you
right.
know, talking to himself, but what has yet to be said so far is that one of the Bicos is in his underwear, and
yeah.
What's funny about that is when I was watching this video, my coworker walked into the studio and the only thing on my screen is some dude sitting in his underwear
tidy whities
in an interview chair. And I'm like, it's not what it looks like. I saw that you interviewed someone in the shower, and
yeah, that was the first one ever. Yeah.
And
Kyle Lewigs was the first guy. And then we did it again with Eduardo Malinowski.
Were you using, was that squirtable jelly as a microphone?
It might have been jelly. It was either jelly or it was like a, you know, actually shampoo or conditioner, body wash,
like,
or something.
Like, but there's like strawberry.
I think it was probably Welch's strawberry jelly that we had just grabbed from the fridge.
Yeah, and was the dude using?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Was the dude using 2-in-1? I feel like he was using.
Yeah, that sounds right.
2-in-1
sounds
shampoo.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Your second base date, I believe the player's name was Bill.
Bill Leroy.
I don't know if you noticed this, but after he kisses your hand, which I don't actually think the lips legitimately touched your hand, but after he kisses your hand, he adjusts himself. Did you notice that?
I didn't notice, but I will go back and watch it with a keen eye.
It's very apparent. I promise I wasn't just looking at his package. It was there.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
The toilet interview, how was the view?
The view of Nick Clarno from Upside Down in the Stall, probably a top 5 view of my entire life.
This is like, you know, all those reels that just came out where it's like, show your best view of 2022. That would be
That's
great if that
mine.
was just, yep, that was it. There's another second base interview. It's an ASMR interview, and you
Yeah.
guys are eating bananas, and I just want to say that, like, I would eat a banana with that dude any day. You are like one of the,
Bryson
oh my
Bloomer?
gosh, you're like the,
Yeah.
what, who is that? He's so
I know.
beautiful.
He's coming back to play with us for the tour, so he'll be in Sacramento
Oh my
come
gosh.
whenever we're in Sacramento. I should know that coming into this interview, but it's sometime
It's
during the summer.
sometime in July.
July. I think it's July. Yeah.
So,
Yeah, boy, that's a good-looking guy right there, isn't he? He's like carved from, molded from the earth.
I could watch him eat a banana all day, and it's just.
That video got so many views. We enjoyed it. We had a fun time doing it. As you can tell if you see it, but we never, like, you know, as you've just documented, we've done a lot of these and thought the ideas for a lot of them were better than that. But that one is up there, and it might be like it might have the most views. And I always thought it was because it was just such a great interview. But now that
No.
you know, hearing you talk about
Yeah.
it probably had a little something to do with the eye candy.
No, legitimately speaking, the interview itself, you guys are whispering. It's actually,
Right.
it's really not that much ASMR. I can't really hear what you guys are saying. I can't hear the banana eating.
Yep.
But it, whew, tell you what, it was just a,
Yeah.
it's a great thing to watch, you guys. It's great.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me. I know all about it.
There is that interview that you did, and you're chilling in a basket of like burgers. And I just have, I have two questions about it. There's two specific questions. Why was there popcorn on the burgers?
It's
Did
just
someone
kind
throw popcorn at you?
of. I don't remember if they just threw it all over me. I don't think they threw it all over me. I
No, it's
think it
like
was a little
legitimately,
bit more.
it's just like a few pieces of popcorn. Is that it? It was just one of those things where I'm like, why? Why the heck is there all this
Yeah,
popcorn chilling on
it
these burgers?
definitely wasn't like dumped on my head. I think it was sprinkled around my head. I think it was, they were just trying to add a little something to the scene. That was Nick Freeman again, although Alex Marinelli and Kara Hieter, our marketing director, were all involved in that shoot as well. So it's you can blame one of the three of them for why popcorn was amongst burgers and hot dogs.
Was the kiss scripted? Because I feel like it wasn't, because your reaction after the kiss, like you couldn't even kind of gain composure for a minute. You're giggling.
No, and I pride myself on being a pretty tough break. I see a lot of really wacky, zany, insane things on a daily basis with the bananas. But I didn't see, and that was Cole Kitchen, a California kid who had come across, you know, our great country to the East Coast, and he had one thing on his mind. He had a captive Biko head. I couldn't move because I had, you know, they had like sawed a little hole in this container for me, and I was squatting underneath it. And he seized the moment, and I can't blame him for it. And he had terrific lips, I have to say. And you know, when I saw him coming in for it afterwards, because he's the guy who would do it. Like it wasn't that surprising when I saw him going in for it. He's an incredibly funny man. And just a blast to have around in Savannah for a few months. When I saw him going in, I said, there's nothing I can do but close my eyes and pucker up. And I wasn't sure if he was going to make contact, and son of a gun, he did. But yeah, I broke for sure. Alex Marinelli, who I just mentioned earlier, he was behind me, and he was the guy who had the camera on the players. He broke really bad. His camera starts shaking. You can hear him laughing. Then you hear Nick Freeman, who's got the camera on me, yell, "Shut up, Alex," which needed to be said because I don't think Alex would have stopped if not. Kara had the boom mic. She was shaking that. That was probably the funniest singular, like, surprising moment from any of the interviews was the Cole Kitchen smooch.
The smooch. You just gotta hang out with all these really hot dudes and get, random kisses and taking showers with them and
I'm living the life. I'm
living
living
the
the life,
life,
Caitlin.
dude. Like you are.
Yeah, I'm not complaining.
Nah, I'm extremely envious of it. So,
Yeah.
as a broadcast entertainer, and since you have, the stats and the knowledge, Can you pop off any random facts that you think we should know?
Ooh, random stat blast?
Yeah.
That's actually an amazing question. Gosh, what is the fastest inning in banana history? That's, if I had that stat for you, I would have given it to you right now, and that would have been pretty impressive because it used to be Luke Kelly at 1:35. I think someone beat him over the summer series, so I don't think that stat actually exists anymore. I can, off the top of my head, I can tell you that Dan Oberst, another absolute hunk of a man, he led the 2022 World Tour in batting average. I'm sure he'll be hitting in the first three for the Bananas throughout all of 2023, and I'd look out for him to do some damage. I can tell you Bill Leroy, the man you saw me doing the interview out on second base when I was in the dress, and he may have had a little something going on. He led the 2022 World Tour in on-base percentage. It was, like, close to 600, which is insane. He was getting on base, like, nearly 6 out of 10 times, which is absurd. So that's a couple stats I can blast for you. I can also tell you Christian Dierman, who's a pitcher for the Bananas. He was the ERA leader on the tour. And Bill Lee, at 75 years old, was second best at ERA. He had a 3.00 ERA across, like, 10 games of pitching against professional hitters, which is amazing. But he did play 14 years in Major League Baseball and is a Red Sox Hall of Famer. So it makes sense that he can still put some spin on the ball and deceive these young cats.
Isn't it true that you are an Emmy Award winner?
It is factually true that I won an Emmy. I was very lucky to ascertain one in my little over 2+ years at MLB and NHL Network down in Secaucus, New Jersey. I say down in because I'm a New Yorker at heart, so it feels like it's down, even though in the Savannah world it's up, but whatever, that doesn't matter at all.
Geography.
Yeah. Yeah, geography talk, which is always really fun on podcasts. I got an Emmy because MLB Tonight won Best Sports Daily Studio Show. And that was really cool because myself, Yvonne Trezak, who I was able to recruit and bring to the Bananas, he's our director of creative content for the past year. He's actually just had his year anniversary. He was also with me for that Emmy. A bunch of us really put a lot of work into MLB Network, or MLB Tonight, rather, at MLB Network. So that felt really good. It was cool to be, like, 23 years old with an Emmy. That felt pretty surreal.
Do you have, like a trophy or an award or anything? Did you get one?
They give you, I think it's $300, maybe it's $500 to get it, but thank you to the great people at MLB Network. They purchased the actual trophy for all of us.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it's sweet. I think it's like one of my 5 pictures on my Instagram is me with one of my dad and my stepmom's baby goats in one hand and the Emmy in the other. It's an awesome trophy. It feels good to hold it. And now that you remind me of it, I hadn't seen it since like 2020, maybe early 2021. It's sitting at my mom somewhere, so I'll have to dig that up.
Yeah, you should bring it to all the games.
Yeah, every game.
Every single game. When you get into the broadcast booth, you know, when you get into the broadcast booth, you're like, okay, you set up your computer, you got your, you know, maybe cup of coffee, you got some water, got
right.
Your Emmy. All right, I'm ready to broadcast.
Yeah, all the essentials. Yeah, I thought about putting it up in the background, but it just, you know, and we've got good enough security pretty much everywhere we are, but it just feels so stealable. And my parents convinced me that it was probably my best interest to leave it in upstate New York.
Like, I get it, but I also don't, because, like, why would you want to steal an Emmy because, you didn't get it, you know what I mean? So it's like, what's the...
Yes.
It's weird, but you know, I don't know what people like. I ain't judging
you,
the thieves.
True.
I ain't judging.
You
the
never
thieves.
Know. Yeah, there's a lot of kleptomaniacs out in this world. See something shiny, all of a sudden it's gone forever. You know,
gone forever. So, I'm glad you brought up your Instagram because I actually did want to ask you how as a broadcast entertainer can you get away with only having 5 posts on Instagram?
That is maybe the million-dollar question you've asked so far. I probably have triple digits. I probably have over 100 pictures that could be on Instagram, but my fiance, which was in my best interest, archived about 95% of them to pretty it up. So yeah, but then, you know, the whole point was then I should be posting like once a week, but I'm just, as much as a man who lives in the entertainment world and, you know, makes his living through a team that thrives on virality, I'm not the biggest social media guy. I always say that I'm gonna start posting all the time and doing this and that, and then I just get caught up in the real world. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden I haven't posted a picture in like half a year. So yeah, it's honestly a very fair critique of what I'm doing. I should be setting like some kind of alarm that I have to post something on Instagram once a week, and maybe that's going to be like my fourth New Year's resolution.
Fourth New Year's resolution. So you already came up with three. Is it to kiss the guy you're eating a banana with?
No, Bryson Bloomer. It would not be worth using a resolution on because I know I could get that pretty much any day of the week. I need to improve my Spanish. My Spanish is really bad, and I would love to be bilingual, but I definitely can't call myself that, even though I've put like 6 years of my life into it and continue to flounder there. And I just made up a word. I also flounder. I flounder and I flounder when it comes to...
And he can fold his body.
And so I would like to be able to fold my body a lot better. That's resolution number two. I want to play the keyboard. I've been working on it a little bit, but I'm pretty bad at it. My mom was an amazing keyboardist in her heyday. So, and I grew up with a piano in the house, and I kicked myself forever for giving my mom a hard time when she tried to teach me as a youth when it would have been so easy for my little sponge of a brain. I also would like to be working out. I have done Peloton 3 straight days, so that's a pretty good job. My roommate's got a Peloton, and that's like one of the greatest things a roommate could ever bring into a household. That's pretty sweet. So, yeah, I'm doing good on the working out part. The Spanish is not going well. The keyboarding I'm still doing bad at. I think the most achievable of my resolutions is my new fourth one, is that I'll put something on Instagram every week.
Every week, okay.
It feels like, you know, some people are like daily, you know, if you're a real content creator, you know, the grind don't stop. So I start weekly. I feel like there's some kind of picture that pops onto my phone once a week that I could share with the world.
Yeah, I mean, you have a post from 6 days ago, and then before that it was August. So that's why I was just saying like once a week. I mean, once a month, I feel like it might be a more reachable resolution for you.
Yeah, so I have to post something tonight, that means, or else tomorrow it will be a week. So look out. I don't know when this podcast gets posted out into the
tonight.
World, but Biko should have, hopefully Biko will have 6 pictures on his Instagram when you're listening to this.
Whoa. 6.
Yeah.
You guys, the plan is to have 6.
Yeah, I got to figure out what it's going to be now, though. That's
just
stressful.
I'll take a picture I don't know, like your shoe.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
Take a picture of a banana. That's the thing. Yeah. You could be posting pictures like legitimately of like your any part of the last like 2 years. You know.
Yeah.
Of.
It was. Yeah, I hear you. It was truly the ugliest Instagram of all time. I think like my last 8 to 10 posts before my fiance took control were all just like birthday collages for my friends. And it was over like 3 years. I had like 8 to 10 of these posts, and Lauren was like, "Okay, you're banned. You're cut off." It's 5 pictures, but the quality of them is far greater than anything I had up before.
So, okay, I need to figure out why you went from broadcasting via MLB to Savannah Bananas.
Yeah, that's a very fair question. I mean, the simple end of it is with MLB Network, I was the video editor, was truly what I was doing. I would come in. And I started as a broadcast associate and was lucky enough to be promoted after a year. And then I was associate producer, which was super awesome. I got to make, like, we call them like breakdowns, tapes with Al Leiter, Eric Burns, Pedro Martinez, Sean Casey, Herb Reynolds, like all these people who, I'm a diehard baseball fan. I idolized these people, just like they were the most amazing. They were my superheroes growing up. And then all of a sudden I was bumping elbows and working hand in hand with them and, you know, trying to make them look good on TV. And I really enjoyed that. And it was a magical experience and definitely a dream come true in a lot of aspects. But I wasn't actually broadcasting. I wasn't in the stadium. I wasn't watching baseball games happen in front of me with my eyeballs live. And that is what I basically had been dreaming to do since I was about 15 years old. So I always knew that MLB and NHL Network, although it was an awesome job and, you know, a pretty almighty corporation in the world that I wanted to live in, that it just wasn't the end game for me. And then I was like kind of shopping around looking for broadcasting opportunities, and then saw an opening online for the Bananas. And I'd been trying to look around local because my girlfriend at the time was in law school in the city and stuff. So like I was looking at New Jersey and Connecticut and Pennsylvania and New York, obviously. Nothing was really there that caught my fancy. And then I saw this collegiate summer baseball team called the Savannah Bananas, watched their 20-minute story about them, which was amazing, done by Ben Sheffield, I believe, back in the day. And I was like, holy crap, this is something I have to see in person. Then the long story short of it is I applied, got the job, and got a 2.5-month contract just for the 2020 Coastal Plain League collegiate baseball season. And fell in love with it, and lucky enough, the people down there like me and the fans enjoyed me, so it turned into a career.
So how long is the season?
So it's ever-changing, Caitlin. When I went down, it was basically supposed to be a 2.5-month season, but of course 2020 was when COVID happened. The 16-team league got narrowed down to just 3 teams. It was just the Bananas, the Macon Bacon, and the Lexington County Blowfish. The Bananas literally only had 2 teams to play all summer. So they invented the party animals. That's actually when they were incepted, and had a couple other teams come on in and play. So it was just a 2.5-month contract, 2.5-month season, and then I was, like I said, lucky enough to come back. So I came back, and then we did the One City World Tour, quote unquote, which was our true introduction of professional banana ball to the world. We played 2 games in Savannah, 2 games in Mobile, Alabama. So that was like across 3 weeks. So we added 3 weeks onto the 2.5-month summer collegiate season that then happened after that. This past spring, we played 14 games in the spring and went to 7 cities. So that added like 3 months to the 2.5-month season. So all of a sudden it's kind of like half a year that I was devoting to this down in Savannah. And now as we go into 2023, we're going to be playing banana ball from mid-February through the end of September. So it's all of a sudden like a 7.5-month gig. And I don't know, at the pace we're going, it feels like our season will probably be like 8 to 10 months for the rest of our lives.
Is that like standard for baseball, right? Isn't baseball forever? I feel like baseball never ends. I feel like there isn't a season of baseball. Isn't it like 12 months?
Baseball is forever, and that's part of the glory of it. It starts in the very end of March and ends at the very beginning of November. And they play 162 regular season games, and then they keep expanding the playoffs. So now it's like there's like 4 rounds of playoffs that takes us all through October and into November. It's definitely the biggest grind of a sport. So it makes sense that we're turning it into, like an 8-month affair as well.
A question I have, I don't know, hopefully it's not rude, but like, why do I only know of the Savannah Bananas?
As far as like in the baseball world?
Well, as far as, in banana ball, because you guys play other teams, but I don't know any other team that's a part of this, not league.
No, that's a very fair question. It makes sense that you've only heard of the Bananas because this whole venture is so young. Our main foil, the arch rival of the Bananas, are the Party Animals. That's a team we created who your guy Bryson Bloomer will be playing on this upcoming year. And like those are the two. If you were going to know anybody besides the Bananas, the Party Animals is the team you would also know. And then besides that, we are playing all kinds of professional, all-star collegiate teams, international teams, who are just completely a part of a different league. And we're just kind of barnstorming, as the kids say around the country. So, our whole operation right now is just the Bananas and Party Animals. So, I mean, you've got 50% of it right now. That's pretty good.
Okay, so when you guys are playing other teams, are there just like people around the US that are just making up a team? Do they have to have certain qualifications? Let's just say
Yeah, they.
I made up a team right now.
Right.
Like, could I do that? I'd
If you had a stadium with like 4,000 plus seats at least, then maybe. But in general, in our first year here that we're truly making this a countrywide tour, we're only playing like legitimate teams in league. So, we're playing like six or seven independent professional teams in the Atlantic League, an American Association, and then we're playing a collegiate summer league all-star team from the Florida Collegiate Baseball League. We're playing a team called the Aussie Drop Bears, a professional team from some of the best players who are coming across the sea from Australia. So that's the general vibe, is like we're playing professional teams and the creme de la creme of college players, and then in the future. There might be a kind of situation where you can like just create a team out of thin air and possibly play off. Oh my gosh, how could I? I'm burying the lead. We're also playing a team full of Major League Baseball alumni that's got like all kinds of all-stars and former World Series champions and stuff on their roster. So right now it's like only legitimate teams, but who knows what lies ahead in the future? There could be all kinds of interesting opportunities for folks who may want to play us.
Okay, so yeah, so basically there's a ton of professional baseball leagues, not just MLB.
Oh my gosh, yeah, there's so many. It would blow your mind. It's a crazy world, the world of independent professional baseball leagues. But yeah, there's the main ones are the Atlantic League, the American Association, Pioneer League, the Can-Am, the Pacific Coast League. I mean, there's all kinds of professional baseball going on in our country.
It is not a small world.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Like, yeah, how can you watch games, like these future games? Where are you able to catch the broadcast?
So the vast majority of our broadcasts for the 2023 World Tour are going to be on our YouTube page for free for the world. So really easy. All you have to do is search the Savannah Bananas on YouTube, and go to our page. They'll pop up live whenever we're playing a game. I think some of our games are going to be, and that's also kind of top secret information, so we'll pretend like I never said that. But yeah, the vast majority or the majority of the games at least are just going to be on the YouTube page.
How can we chat with you during broadcasts? You mentioned that there's like a chat room that fans are able to like talk to you while you're broadcasting.
Yeah, right on the YouTube broadcast. I mean, if you're watching on a computer, it pops up. If you're watching on like a phone or a tablet or whatever, it can pop up right there. And you just type away and whatever you slap in there, hopefully my eyes will get on it. It's this on the world tour we just had, it's a blessing, but there's so many folks watching and so many people commenting. I never had a chance in the world to see even like 10% of the comments. Where in the past it was like I could kind of get to everything back in the Coastal Plain League behind a paywall days. But yeah, it's like if you're the only problem you might have is if you watch like on a smart TV. then, you know, you won't be able to comment, I don't think, unless you, like, also pull it up on your phone or something and comment there.
Okay. So, everything that, you know, you guys offer via broadcast, it's going to be on your direct YouTube page. So you can watch it live. You can try and talk to Biko. And if he's not responding, it's because either A, he's busy broadcasting, or B, there's too many, you know, attractive men trying to eat bananas with him.
Right. And you can't fault me for that.
I would never fault you for that. Is there anything that you would like people to know specifically about you or your job or the organization or all three?
I mean, in general, if you haven't, you know, seen our content or don't really know what's going on, I would just ask you to check out the Savannah Bananas on whatever social media you enjoy. You know, we're on the Twitter, the Instagrams, the YouTube, the TikToks. The Tick and the Talk is truly where we shine. I think we're close to or right around 4 million followers on TikTok, which just warms our sweet little hearts. Like you can't believe. Take a look at the content, because we make a lot of fun stuff. And I think in general, the vast majority of people get some, you know, some fun and some laughs out of what we're doing on a baseball field. So that's basically it. If you don't know what's going on, take a peek. You might like it.